Let's crank it up. Let's crank it up, Dr. Love Dre. Let's get this party started.
Uh-oh.
That's what we talk about. That's what we talk about. Crank it up. Crank
That's
it up. Crank
sound.
It up.
That's
it's showtime.
Here we go.
Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for this.
Talk to me. What time is it?
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me.
Yeah, time is now. It's officially Talking Sports with the 12th man. We welcome you guys. We've been on a little hiatus. But what? Just like Paul George, we're coming out firing. What? Today is, of course, Wednesday.
Paul George with another big-time three-pointer for the Pacers.
Wow. Just awesome. Well, of course, today is Wednesday, the 28th. On a special edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man, as we mentioned, we've been on a little hiatus, but we're back. We're fired up, as you can hear, for the show. As always, let us introduce ourselves. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by T-Bob, Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, making it do what it do. We overdue to be back on the air, people. Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, I know we're on a different night, but we'll get back to normal here. But, you know, it's just been a crazy couple of weeks. But, you know, let's go ahead and kick it off. We got a lot of fun things to talk about. You know, NBA is live and well. We got to talk about the mock draft. We got to get some OTAs kicking off the NFL. Just a lot of things going on. But without further ado, we always want to throw out the show numbers, our Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. If you want to get in touch with us. First and foremost, if you want to call us and give us some love, the number to call the show, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also available via Twitter. If you want to follow us via Twitter, just go to at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And finally, we are also on Facebook. That's where we post all of our show topic information, anything that's happening, big threes, combinations, all that fun stuff. You want to go to facebook.com/12thmansports. If you're talking sports, 12th man, you will find us as well. Woo! Man, I am kind of like, got to get it all out, Rob, but let's go ahead and get this party started. Let's kind of get it kicking off. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs, man. What an exciting game right now between the Pacers and the Heat, Rob.
Yeah, I tell you, it's been a back-and-forth game. Paul George has, in the last 2 minutes, has probably hit three big-time three-pointers to give the Pacers a four-point lead with 48.7 seconds. Indiana fighting for the playoff lives here, trying to get to Game 6 down in South Beach here. So it should be interesting. LeBron James has missed most of the game with foul trouble, with five fouls, trying to see if he can help this team come back here down the stretch.
Gotcha. As we, you know, like I said, we've got 40-something seconds left. We're going to keep it out. I got one eye on the television, Rob, as well, so we're going to keep moving here. But it seemed like, Rob, everyone and their mama had it going to the Heat, you know, and I kind of called it. I figured that the Pacers are going to pull this one out, even though I think that eventually the Heat are going to win the series. But you can't give, you know, you got to give the Pacers some love here. They fought hard. And as you can see, another huge three-pointer that was just hitting by the Heat, man. So this is not quite over yet if you're for the Pacers here. Man, what an exciting game.
Yeah, great game here down the stretch here. 18 seconds ago, Rashard Lewis just hit a big three. He's had a great game today as well. I think he's got about 18 to 20 points in this one as well. So now you're going to see the Pacers inbound the ball. Miami's going to try to get a steal. If not, you know, you're going to get a quick foul and see if you can shorten the game here a little bit to keep them in it.
Gotcha. Let's keep an eye on that too. But let's talk a little bit more about the other series, the Thunder at the Spurs, and you know, we're always been a huge fan of the Spurs because, Rob, they just keep playing, man. You keep counting them out, and they just keep on finding out ways to win. OKC, man, you talk about it, an electric game from Russell Westbrook, excuse me. And I was kind of guy that I wasn't a huge fan of Westbrook. I figured, you know, he had a dynamic player, Kevin Durant, excuse me, the Slim Reaper here. And it seems like OKC kind of pulled out the 1-2 hokey doke for the Spurs and kind of threw a surprise at them getting Reggie Jackson in the game, Rob.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. If you look at these last two games in that series, well, you look at all four of these games. All four games have been blowouts, with Spurs blowing out them in the first two games. OKC gets Serge Ibaka back, and they come out and handle the Spurs in the last two games pretty handily. And now you have questionable Reggie Jackson for tomorrow. The Thunder's going to need him if they're going to expect to go to San Antonio and win Game 5 tomorrow night. So I think what's going to happen here, we've had four blowout games in that series. I think tomorrow night we're going to have our first close game of this series, and whoever wins that game tomorrow night in San Antonio is going to win that series.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out for sure. It's been one of those things where, like you said, blowouts on both sides. Who do you think is going to pull out the series, Rob?
I'm going to still say the Spurs sneak this one out, but I think it's going to go seven games. I really believe.
Wow.
I think you're looking at a seven-game series out there in the Western Conference. And I expect the remaining three games to all be close with the Spurs eking out the series.
Gotcha. We'll keep an eye on that as well. So without further ado, I know we want to spend a lot of time here talking about a little bit more about the NBA draft that's actually coming up. And, pretty excited to see your mock draft, Rob. And I'm actually going to post it in a quick second here. But, no surprise in that Cleveland once again gets the number one pick, adding to Andre's conspiracy theory about the frozen envelopes and the frozen ping pong balls. But, they get the number one pick. And you've got them taking Andrew Wiggins, the dynamic forward from Kansas. So tell us a little bit about this, and we'll kind of go over the whole mock draft. If you will, Cleveland gets number one pick, Milwaukee number two, Philly number three. Even though they try to squander it, kind of lose as many games, they route it with the top three pick. Still, they get a dynamic player, though, and vice versa to Orlando number four and Utah number five. Tell us real quick about your thoughts on the mock draft, and, why do you think Andrew Wiggins deserves to be the number one player? Is he a game changer? Is he a superstar? Is he LeBron James part two? You have a lot of different things about this gentleman, Rob.
Well, I think when you look at these first three, I think we all know who the top three players in the draft is, but we don't know what order they're going to go in. Andrew Wiggins, Joe Embiid, and Jabari Parker are the top three players in this draft. Watch Dante Exum, though. He could possibly sneak into the top three as well. At the moment, I think if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, you're going to more than likely lose Lou Alding in free agency and possibly look to move Anderson Varechild. So I think for them, it's going to come down to Andrew Wiggins or Joe Embiid for this number one pick in the draft. But I think in the end, a lot of people thought Andrew Wiggins was the next LeBron James coming out of high school. I don't think he's the next LeBron James. I think his ceiling is somewhere around a Scottie Pippen, which is not a bad ball player. And I think his floor is somewhere around a Gerald Green. So obviously you're hoping that he's going to be somewhere close to a Scottie Pippen type player. He's got the length. He's got the athleticism. He's great in the open floor. And he's also a great defender. Your concern with Andrew Wiggins is he's got to develop his game in a half-court set, and that's where his weakness is right now. Once again, his strengths, he's great in the open floor, and he's great on defense, but he's got to develop a half-court game.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, too, because, for someone that that's the number one player, at this time, you definitely think he would be more of an aggressive player, because I keep seeing a lot of clips about him, and he's not as aggressive like you talked about. Maybe that's due to the fact that he's not just strong yet, but he does have, he has the look of a player, and whenever, tell me a little bit, as you were watching him kind of, at Kansas, did he seem like the type of player that could take over a game, Rob, or just kind of go through motions or what? I mean, I'm just curious as far as your thoughts about him whenever you watch him playing at Kansas.
Well, you see flashes, but you don't see the killer instinct yet, and obviously the potential is there. And like I said, he's got to develop his game. I think he's going to have to give it a coach to really work on his game to get his shot in the half-court set. Most of his points comes in transition, which he's got to, work on. Like I said, he's got to get a half-court game if he's going to be a great player on the next level. But no, he doesn't have that killer instinct to take over a game yet, but the potential is there.
Joel Embiid, you've got him going number two to Milwaukee. Milwaukee, it seems like they've been up in high in the draft as well, unfortunately, too. I know that NBADraft.net has Joel Embiid going first, but this guy is a pretty dynamic player, man. True seven-footer here. A lot of athleticism. Can he come in and actually make an impact? I mean, he's getting like a lot of good comparisons to Tim Duncan and also Kemba Olajuwon. I don't know if that's just being too generous, or is that pretty accurate as far as his comparison, Ron?
Well, I think defensively and in transition, almost similar to Andrew Wiggins. In transition, he runs the floor really well, and he blocks shots on defense. He rebounds the basketball. But pretty much the same as Andrew Wiggins, he's got to develop a game in a half-court set before he can be compared to Tim Duncan or Hakeem Olajuwon. And so, right now, that's his only weakness. But, you know, Milwaukee needs everything. When you look at their roster, they need every position. And Joel Embiid can help them on the defensive end and rebounding right away in hopes that you can get a lot of putback points while his offensive game catches up with his defense. But obviously he's an athletic big man, and they're hard to come by. So he's going to be hard to pass up. Your only concern is a little bit with a knee issue here. That might scare a team off or two, but definitely the potential and athleticism is there if he clears medically.
Gotcha. Another guy that, if you're Philadelphia, sometimes I think it's good to be lucky, and they may actually end up getting lucky, and they may end up getting the best player. Supposedly in the draft, they sit there and get Jabari Parker. I mean, I know there's some talk about that, but what do you think about Jabari? I mean, this guy has been the number one recruited, high school player, McDonald's All-American, obviously. And what do you think about his opportunity to kind of come in and kind of set the stage as far as going to Philadelphia?
Well, yeah, you said a lot there, and to some degree, you're right there. They may get the best offensive player in the draft because he can definitely put the ball in the basket. He doesn't have quite the athleticism that Wiggins and Embiid has, but as far as skill offensively, he can put the ball in the basket now, and so you don't have to wait for him to come around offensively, but you're going to have to hope that he comes around defensively, and so that's your concern right now with Jabari Parker. But potentially he can put the ball in the basket and fill it up for you. And he's got an outside game and he's got a post-up game. Philadelphia, watch Dante Exum, the kid from Australia, too, because the Sixers are pretty high on him as well.
Uh-oh.
You got 1 second left in the game with the Pacers on the line here with a 2-point lead.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on that, too, Rob. That's a good call, man. So we'll see if they're able to hold off the Heat, man. Like I said, I actually predicted that they were going to win it just because of everything was pointing to the Heat, so I figured they were going to pull a nice little upset. But ultimately, I do think the Heat will pull it off, if you will. But we'll let you know in a quick second if David West used to play for your boys over there, if he can be able to knock out these free throws and kind of end it.
Well, he's a great free throw shooter.
Oh, you almost jinxed him! You almost jinxed him right there, Rob. He did barely get in. They're comparing Jabari Parker to Carmelo Anthony. Is that a pretty fair comparison, or do you think that's not that, obviously Carmelo's a great, great superstar player. Is that a pretty fair comparison for Jabari Parker, Rob?
I don't see Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony, I think, is a true small forward. Well, I think Jabari Parker is more of a tweener. He's a mixture between a small and a power forward, I think. I think he can give you minutes at both positions, both a 3 and a 4, so I don't know if he'll be the scorer that Carmelo Anthony is, but I could easily see him being a 17 to 21, 22-point game scorer in the NBA, Jabari Parker. But, I don't know if he'll ever be the kind of player that'll put 28, 29 points a game like Carmelo has the potential of doing on any given night.
Gotcha. And it's just over, Rob. The Pacers have pulled it off. They have beaten the Miami Heat. So there's one more game. Game 6 back to Miami, and I think that Miami will close it out. But definitely a valiant effort. You hope that Paul George doesn't talk any junk more about the the refs, or he's going to be $25,000 lighter again. But, you know, it is what it is.
It's pocket change for him.
Pocket change. What is that, straight cash, Holby?
Hey, oh, yeah, straight cash. Well, you know, when you look at this, is obviously Indiana fighting for the playoff lives, get a big win tonight, and showed a lot of guts. Paul George with a great game. And so we're going to have a game six down in Miami on Friday night.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out for sure. Let's keep moving here. I do want to throw out the numbers. We're probably about to, we got almost halfway point of the show. Once again, you should call in and give us your thoughts. The number to call is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're going to keep moving. This is all about NBA mock draft, folks. We'll talk briefly about some football. Before I do move on, Rob, I do want to pass our condolences to the Glazer family. You know, Malcolm Glazer actually passed, unfortunately. One of the owners of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So just definitely want to pass our condolences. And kind of an outside sports topic, Maya Angelou as well. I mean, just an amazing career, amazing lady here, poet, activist. I mean, just amazing lady here. Just wanted to also give my condolences to the family as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Malcolm Glazer is an integral part of the NFL. And, of course, Maya Angelou is an integral part in one of the greatest poets of all time. So definitely our condolences are with their families, and may they both rest in peace.
Yeah, yep, yep. All right, so we'll keep moving here. Let's keep it talking about the NBA draft. I did post that on our page, by the way, Rob. So,
oh, great.
You know, I hope that's okay. Just wanted to show you some love with that, too. As we kind of talk more or less about the mock draft, and as I was saying, Rob, you know, the Philadelphia may get lucky with Jabari Parker, but they may go a different direction. They may decide real quickly to go with another, you know, a pretty interesting character, Dante Exum. He's a point guard from Australia. You know, it could be between him and Jabari Parker. For people that don't really know who Dante is, can you kind of enlighten this, and why do you think this is? Why is he being picked so high? Is he an international player that can be stashed, or do you think he can come in right away and make an impact?
I think Dante Exum can come in and play right away. He's a combo guard. He's got good size, 6'6", can handle the basketball. Orlando, if he's on the board at 4, they're definitely going to take him. Jameer Nelson is in the last year of his contract next year. They're ready to move on. You compare Dante, pair Dante Exum with a Victor Oladipo. You have a very athletic backcourt. I'll tell you this. I mean, for those of you all who haven't seen Dante Exum play, in my opinion, he's got the athleticism of a John Wall at the point guard position. So this guy can be a really, really good player. Like I said, he's 6'6", can handle the ball, can see over defense. He can shoot the basketball. He's almost can also be a combo guard, can slide over to the two if you wish from time to time. But if Orlando gets him, they are ready to pair him with Victor Oladipo for the future.
But I like it because and I like to kind of have some thought process of the two, Rob. They're comparing him to a Penny Hardaway. Is that a pretty good comparison, or you think more kind of John Wallish is what you're thinking about?
Well, Penny is also a good comparison. I think, you know, my comparison is similar to John Wall because he's quick. John mm-hmm. Wall is very fast with the basketball, and Exum is as well, and he's got the athleticism to go with it. And John Wall can jump out of the gym. May not have quite his jumping ability, but pretty close.
It's pretty interesting because his dad was actually Cecil Exum. He grew up in North Carolina. I think his mom was an athlete too. So, you know, you talk about, you know, sometimes where his father, you know, actually won an NCAA championship playing alongside Michael Jordan at the University of North Carolina. And then he actually moved to Australia to play basketball professionally. So, Australia. So that's kind of cool whenever your dad was in the league. And I'm sure he's able to pass along a lot of good stuff to him. And it seems like he's actually taking it to heart. And, you know, his dad may be, excuse me, he may be a better player than his dad, it seems like, at this juncture.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, he's got the genes as well. And I think this is a kid that's going to be a really good player. on the next level. And, you know, don't be surprised if you see Philadelphia take him at number three. There's a chance there.
Love it. Now, there's another guy that came in pretty hot. He was a top McDonald's All-American, Rob, Julius Randle, the freshman from Kentucky. And it seems like Kentucky always seems to reload, Rob. Pretty interesting thought. I mean, I've heard some comparisons about him, kind of similar to a Zach Randolph. He's a lefty, power forward coming out of Kentucky. Maybe drop a little bit, but tell us a little bit about your thoughts about Julius Randle and if he's there at number five that you got going to the Utah Jazz.
Well, here's the thing with Randle here. I mean, offensively, he's got the low post moves already, so that's not a concern with him. He's got good strength. Your concern with Julius Randle is his arms are short for his height, and he doesn't have great athleticism. So that's your concern about him playing a four at the next level. But offensively, he's got the moves. He can put the ball in the bucket already. You don't have to wait for him to put points on the basket. He's a good rebounder. But like I said, his arms are a little short. You wonder if he'll be able to get his shot off over some athletic defenders at the next level. So that's somewhat your concern. And he doesn't have the athleticism as some of the other power forwards in the game, Jabari Parker, Aaron Gordon, and Noah Vonleh. But he's got the low post moves ready.
Every time you say somebody with short arms, I always think about a Tyrannosaurus Rex. I don't know why that comes to my mind, man. But that's the first thing I think about is somebody with short arms. I think about a Tyrannosaurus Rex, man. That's just me. I love it. I think that's a great analogy too, Rob, because there's been some players that have been pretty successful that haven't been as athletic, but they've been very crafty in the low post, and maybe that's a situation where he kind of grows into that, Rob. Like I said, I think he's going to be a very solid player in the league, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at a guy who's going to be in the league for a long time. There's no doubt about it. And obviously, I have him going in the top five. So, I mean, it's still a very good player if you're going to get picked that high in the draft. But just talking about some strengths and weaknesses, obviously his strengths outweigh his weaknesses if he's going to get picked in the top five. I mean, there's a slight chance that he could slide, but I think he won't get past number 7 or 8.
Gotcha. The next player is the aforementioned Noah Vonleh, the power forward from Indiana. People may not know a lot about this guy as well. Who is this guy coming out of nowhere? It seems like to kind of make an impact here.
Well, he was on a bad Indiana team this past year, so I don't think a lot of the country got a chance to see him play. But he's an athletic big man that can run the floor, play defense, rebounds. These are the type of power forwards the NBA are looking for these days. He's got a lot of upside. And so he's a guy that could possibly move up to number five to Utah. This is about in this range, 5 to 7, where he will go. And so we're talking about a guy who's got a lot of athletic ability, a lot of upside here.
This is definitely the higher ceiling in this instance, right, to really look at this guy.
Absolutely.
Let's keep it moving. Marcus Smart is who you have going number 7 to the L.A. Lakers. And some said that he was making a mistake coming back to school. I don't know. I think he kind of broke even. He had the controversial thing that happened at Texas Tech. Lakers, Steve Nash is getting old, so he's kind of warming up the seat for Marcus Smart. Do you think this is a good move for Marcus going to a team like the Lakers, or is he going to have to fall prey to falling in line and getting beat up by Kobe there, Rob?
This actually might turn out to be a really good situation for Marcus Smart. Okay. I still think the kid has got a lot of talent, a lot of potential. I think he's got a potential to be an all-star in the NBA. Obviously, he had a little off-the-court issue there in college, frustration, and hopefully he's learned from that and can grow from it. But I think this kid I think he's got a potential to be rookie of the year in the NBA. I really do. He's got that kind of talent. He's a big point guard. He can post you up. He can shoot it from the outside. He can run your offense. And maybe being next to Kobe can actually help him as well. And so I think this guy's got a lot of potential. And I almost hate to see a player of his caliber go to the Lakers.
I keep hearing about a couple of weaknesses that he has. He's not the greatest outside shooter, so that may be something he can work on. I mean, but I think the potential is there. Is that something that you can kind of co-sign and agree with in that particular instance?
Well, I think he's got a decent outside shot. Obviously, he doesn't have the NBA range yet. It's something he can work on. I think he's got the strength that he can definitely work on that to get better from that department. You've seen a lot of players take that leap and improve in that area. I think he's got that potential to improve in that area and be a solid point guard for years to come in the NBA. Like I said, I think he can be an all-star.
I got it. I love the analogy. I love the back and forth, Rob. We got about 4 minutes left in the show. I'm going to throw the number out one more time before we get ready to set up the OT portion, 424-243-9519. I'll get Robert's take on one more point guard, and we'll keep it on one more draft pick, excuse me, and we'll let him set up the OT portion of the show. Sacramento, there's been some talk, Rob, they are shopping the number 8 pick. Ironically, with the Hawks, they like Dennis Schroeder. They're kind of like shopping that around. But if they do decide to stay put, you haven't taken Aaron Gordon, the dynamic power forward from Arizona. Tell us about that, and also do you think there's any validity to the rumors with some trade opportunities?
Well, yeah, also another thing, the Sacramento Kings have even talking to the Minnesota Timberwolves about a Kevin Love trade, too. And that's one to watch as well. Even if they don't get an extension from Kevin Love, they still may even be willing to make the trade. So that's one to watch as well about possibly getting Kevin Love. But when you're talking about Aaron Gordon here, and here's another of these guys that has to improve his offensive game. But I will say this, and I've said this about a few other players, but this guy might be the best athlete in the draft. He can jump out of the gym. He can block shots. He can run the floor, defense. But he's still got a liability in his offensive game. And that's the only reason you're going to see him drop this far. But you're talking about a guy who's got a tremendous athletic ability and a great upside. And Eric Gordon's younger brother, by the way.
That's his younger brother for real? Oh, wow, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha, cool. Well, we officially got about 2 minutes and about 20-something seconds, Rob. You want to go ahead and set up the OT portion? And we'll kind of keep it going. I'll just kind of smoothly transition as we get ready to wrap this up. But, yeah, I think a good show coming back, man. We didn't really miss a beat, sir.
Absolutely. When you have great rhythm, you know, you just kind of jump right back into
it.
We're in the zone. But, yeah, you guys definitely want to join us on next week. We'll be back to our regular day, Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central. You don't want to miss it. I'm sure we'll be right in the thick of the NBA playoffs. Maybe have our NBA Finals matchup set by then to discuss and get some predictions on that. I'm sure we're going to be continuing to talk some NBA drafts, so you don't want to miss that. And then we'll start getting into previewing some college football and some NFL as we're getting closer to the season, as we're getting some OTAs going and things of that nature. And we never really had a chance to recap the NFL draft as well based off on being off for a few weeks here. So we'll probably have to get into that here in a few weeks as well. So you don't want to miss out on our upcoming shows. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't get that to you live, so you definitely want to tune into the same link sometime tomorrow when you get a break. If you're a fan of the NBA draft, you definitely want to tune into this OT portion. We continue to talk NBA, and we're going to maybe have a snippet of NFL in our OT portion, so you don't want to miss out on it.
Love it. Good job, as always, Rob. Thank you for setting that up. You know, one thing that's cool about our shows is that football season never ends, you know, because we can definitely keep talking about the draft talk. You know, we'll have a little fresh perspective. Sometimes it's good to kind of deviate, not beat the dead horse that everyone's talking about in the sports world. And, you know, sometimes we'll definitely touch on it. I know I'm sick of Donald Sterling. I'm sick about that. But, you know, if we want to talk about that, that is certainly what we can do. But, yeah, as you mentioned, Rob, OT portion, please feel free to click on the link to listen to that. And, yeah, we'll keep it moving as far as talking more NBA draft stuff. If you have some information about your team, shoot us a quick text. And I think I did get a text from somebody regarding their team, Rob, and I'll tell you about that once we get into OT. But, yeah, anyway, that's what it is. We thank you, and good night, people.
Good night, people.
There it is, and we are officially into the OT portion of the show of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. And the next, you know, I know this is interesting. If I'm Charlotte, I'm a little hurt because Doug McDermott, the talented small forward from Creighton, I'm hoping that he falls to the Hawks. But do you think you have him going number nine to Charlotte? They may not go that route again, Rob, because they didn't do that. They didn't have that much success with another challenging player that was a dynamic scorer and Adam Morrison. But what do you think? Do you think Doug has a chance to kind of make an impact in the league, Rob?
Well, I think this is what you're looking at here with Doug McDermott. I think, you know, there are some questions about his athletic ability. Can he defend at the next level? That's going to be a concern. But as far as shooting, he might be the best shooter in this draft. And you're going to need those kind of specialists on your team, even if he's a guy that can come off the bench and give you some scoring. And I don't see him being a starter in the NBA. I see him as a role player coming off the bench that can be a great spot-up shooter, like a Mike Miller-type player. He can shoot the lights out. And so that's your concern with McDermott, athletic ability. Can he get it done on the defensive end? But he can definitely shoot the basketball.
Yeah, guys like that, Rob, you think they're always going to have a role. You know, J.J. Redick has been surprisingly, you know, able to bounce around and stay in the league. And there's been players, I think, that have been better shooters. So, you know, how does it kind of fit with Doug if him kind of, you know, making a play in the league too, man? So we'll keep an eye on that as well because, you know, if you're limited, you know, athletically, then there's only so many things you can do, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, but he can help a ball club. There's no doubt about it. He can definitely help a basketball team. As you see, Mike Miller hit a lot of clutch three-pointers the last couple of years to help the Heat win championships. And so every team can use a player like that.
Gotcha. Let's talk about another guy. Now, most people may not recognize this guy's name, but pretty impressive. Gary Harris, the shooting guard from Michigan State. He may be a little short for a shooting guard at 6'4", but they've got a comparison to O.J. Mayo. I'm not sure if that's accurate or what, but tell us a little about Gary Harris, how you have him going next, Rob.
Well, I'll tell you, this guy is tough as nails, I'll tell you that. He's 6'4". You may want your shooting guard to be a little bit taller, but he's tough as nails. I'm just like most players are that are coached by Tom Izzo. He's going to rebound a basketball for a 6'4 guard. He's going to defend you. He's going to play tough. And you know, Michigan State went through a little bit of a slump this year because he was hurt a little bit. When he came back, you know, Michigan State made a run, won a Big Ten tournament. And so you're talking about a guy who can, who's tough as nails. He's a leader, and he'll help a ball. Not a superstar in the NBA, but he's going to be a player that can help your ball club.
Good stuff, Rob. Man, he's bringing it. Look at Rob. He's bringing it. I love it. Let's talk about our first, well, maybe our second international player here, Dario Saric, the small forward from Croatia. Before we take a step back, and we're going to say, who is this guy? Is this another Darko Milicic? Why do you think this guy is can he actually be an impact player, or is he going to be stashed overseas to kind of get some more development?
Well, he could come in and play next year, but any team that drafts him, more than likely he's going to stay overseas for one more year before he comes to the NBA. So you have to be a team that's willing. I think if he was ready to come to the NBA next year, I think he could possibly even go higher in this draft. But since he's more than likely going to stay overseas for one more year before he comes to the pros, there's got to be a team that has a little bit of patience and hope that you get a reward, you know, in the long run here. But this guy's got a lot of talent. He can shoot the basketball. Pretty good athlete as well. He's got good length, and he's got a great basketball IQ for his age. So this is a guy, if you're willing to be patient, somebody that's willing to take a chance on him. Like I said, if he was going to be coming over this year, I think he can even go a little bit higher in this draft.
I love it because the Croatian players, Rob. I mean, sometimes you've got some you got the names such as Drazen Petrovic, and you also got one of my favorite players in Tony Kukoc. You know, Tony Kukoc was kind of like long and lean and just a very dynamic and a smart player too. So I'm not sure if he has that type of skill just yet. Yeah, great passer, just kind of had a great feel for the game too. That's one thing you notice about the international players too. So curious about him. And at 6'10", he's a pretty long guy too. He's actually 6'10". Man, that's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's keep moving here. The next guy here, a guy that's been rumored to go to the Hawks, is that you've got James Young, the shooting guard from Kentucky, going to Orlando. Orlando gets two picks there in the top 15. Tell us about James Young, your thought processes about this guy. And I really, between him, McDermott, and Rodney Hood, those are players I actually like for the Hawks, but I'll let you carry on here and kind of give us your thoughts and feedback.
When you look at James Young, boy, he hit a lot of big shots in the NCAA tournament to keep Kentucky going this year. So he's a big-time shooter. He's a solid athlete. And obviously he's, you know, not going to be a 20-25-point game, but he's a solid athlete, decent defender, and he's a big-time clutch shooter with a lot of heart. And he can be a good wing defender in the next level as well.
I want a little bit more from that, but I'll let you slide because maybe that's because I'm a Hawk fan, but we'll keep moving here.
Orlando here, you look at it, they got two picks in the top 12 here. So if this turns out the way, you know, you got a Dante Exum and you got a James Young who you can possibly start at small forward or guy and come off the bench for you, and you may have a good backcourt in the future with Dante Exum, Victor Oladipo, and a James Young.
Yeah, that's probably what they're looking at too, Rob. They probably got the game plan like, shh, I'm telling you, that's exactly what we're doing. But I like it. I like it. Let's talk about the next player, Nick Stauskas, the shooting guard from Michigan. And I would be surprised that he's going to go this high because with Glenn Robinson, Little Dog Jr. on the team, he's actually going to be drafted higher than his teammate. And that's pretty surprising. If you would have told me that this would have happened, Rob, a couple of years ago, I would have said you're crazy. But this is actually happening, it looks like.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is about, you know, where he's graded out right now. He's another guy that's a big-time shooter, a great basketball IQ. He can definitely help a ball club out. You know, Minnesota, you know, have had a history of drafting these foreign players here in the last few years. He's a guy that can come out and shoot the basketball right away for you, come off the bench. Probably won't be a starter just yet, but he can help this Minnesota team right away.
I like it. He has a little more athleticism than Doug McDermott, though, right, you would say?
Maybe just slightly.
Just a little bit. All right, number 15, you got the Hawks taking Rodney Hood, the small forward from Duke. So to get us all excited as a Hawks fan, why do you think this guy would be a good fit for Atlanta at number 15?
Well, you're talking about a guy right now, maybe don't have the top-notch offensive game. He's a decent shooter, but, you know, once again, you got a guy with good length. He's a decent athlete, and he'll be able to help you out on the defensive end, and really both ends of the floor. He can be a solid player for you. And, you know, he can be somewhere between your fifth, sixth, seventh best player on your team. So he'll be a guy that can help you out. When you look at this Hawks team, next year you're going to get Al Horford back, and you have Paul Millsap, and Jeff T might have had his best year, and at least down the stretch he did. So you got to, you know, you get a few more role players to go with those guys, and you're putting together a decent team.
Yeah, I like it, and the way we were able to stretch the Indiana Pacers a little bit, you know, we look at the Spurs as kind of our model. If we are lucky, we'll be still playing that long, too, but you talk about a great dynamic pitcher in that instance, too. But I like it. Let's keep moving here. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show, Ron, so just kind of letting you know where we stand right now as we get ready to wrap up the mock draft. Maybe we'll go a little bit more. Let's talk about Chicago. Jeremiah Grant, the small forward from Syracuse, number 16.
Well, obviously, you know, ever since they lost Lou Alding, they've been hurting in that position. And Jeremy Grant is not as good as a player as a Lou Alding, but he's a guy that can come in and be a rotational player. Very good defensive player, good length as well, which, you know, these NBA types, these NBA executives, they like players with good length. So that's important. But he can come in and be a good situational player. Tom Thibodeau likes his players to be tough and play good defense, and Jeremy Grant will be that type player.
I'm waiting for one name. Looks like you got him going a little bit later on, but I do want to talk about Shabazz Napier. I don't know why you've got him dropping so far. Is that because of athleticism or if it's his height? I thought this would be a guy, just the way that he was able to will his team. He may not have a stronger will than he may not have a strong as a will as a Tyler Hansbrough.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Yeah, man. I'm just. But why do you have him dropping a little lower? I know I'm kind of skipping here, but you know, I'm just curious about that because I thought this guy just put a name for himself carrying that UConn team all the way down the stretch.
Well, here's a classic situation here of a guy who's a great college player, but doesn't project to be a great NBA player. Will he be a solid contributor? I think Shabazz Napier will be a backup point guard in the NBA that can come in and give you 15, 20 minutes off the bench in a pinch. I think he can run your offense, but he's a little short. But like I said, this is a good spot for him. Memphis could use a backup point guard behind Mike Conley. So this could be a good guy that can come in and run your second unit for you, run that offense for you while those guys are getting some rest. You know, you're talking about a guy who's a leader, so he'll be a great locker room guy for you too.
I love it. We are sort of wrapping it up here, but let's get a few more players, and maybe we'll go into our top 20 here. Let's talk more about Boston. Is that Joseph Nurkic? I just butchered that, from Bosnia, the center. Tell us about this pick. I have no idea what's going down, but yeah. Tell us your thoughts, sir.
This is a guy right here who's physical. He's tough as nails. And I tell you what, he'll be a banger in the NBA. And he can step outside and hit the 15, 16-footer. But he's a guy that's a physical, will give you a great physical presence. You look at it, getting a guy like Noah Vindler. If you get these two guys here, you could possibly have a good front court for the future. He's another one of these guys that may stay overseas for at least one more year, so you might have to pack some patience with him. He's still undecided if he's going to come in next year. He's definitely in the draft this year, but there's still some indecision whether or not he'll be playing in the NBA or overseas next year.
Love it, love it. We're wrapping up. We got about 3 minutes left. Let's talk about Phoenix getting Adrian Payne, the power forward from Michigan State, our second one, and a signing of one of the first brothers, P.J. Harrison, shooting guard from North Carolina. I didn't realize he actually committed to go, but talk more about Adrian Payne from Michigan State.
Yeah, real quick on Adrian Payne. Yeah, I think a guy who can play both the four and the five position. Once again, he's another one of these Tom Izzo guys. He's physical, he's tough, he's going to be a great rebounder, just like all Tom Izzo players are. So he's going to be a guy that can help your ball club defensively as well as rebounding the basketball. P.J. Harrison is a guy that can flat-out shoot the basketball, has some off-the-field issues at North Carolina, played in the D-League. He's officially in the draft. So here's a guy that can come in, can possibly start for you at the five. At the two-guard position. But more than likely, I like him coming off the bench, being a good shooter for you in a pinch. Tell you another guy, number 20 to Toronto there, Alfred Payton, shooting guard / point guard. He's about 6'4", out of Louisiana Lafayette. Got to throw it out that he's from New Orleans too. But this is a guy that's a sleeper in this draft. I'm talking about a great athlete that's 6'4", combo guard who can fill it up and play both guard positions for you. Watch this kid. Toronto's got some concerns with Kyle Lowry being a free agent. And Gravis Vasquez has been a restricted free agent, so they have a few concerns there at the guard position.
We got officially 1 minute, Rob. Go ahead and set the show up for next week. Thank you so much, guys, for listening.
Definitely. Stay tuned for our show next week. At the moment, we project it to be on Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. for our good friends in Hawaii. You don't want to miss it. NBA, NFL, NBA Finals coverage, NBA Draft, previewing NFL, previewing college, recapping NFL draft. We still got a lot to get to. Join us next week, people. Good night.
Good night, people. Thank you for listening in. Rob, a great show tonight, sir. I appreciate you taking the time. We will do it again. Thank you for putting up with us. Don't forget to check us out on the archives. We'll talk to you guys soon. Good night.
Good night, people.